Oh, there I am. Now I'm on. If you've had a happy day in Jesus, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that was good. That was said with conviction. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Now we're going to be praying in just a moment, and then you know that song says trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And the question is, how are we going to obey the Lord if we don't know what He wants us to do? And so that really is the segue into our study for tonight, how to study the Bible. Okay, this whole class is about how to study, to learn, to apply properly the Word of God in your life. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time we have to meet together this evening to begin this study of how to study the Bible. And Father, we're thankful that we can just center our attention on the Word of God. We're so thankful for your Word. We're thankful that it is our milk, it is our daily manna, and it's our meat, and it's going to be our completely sufficient resource for us no matter what age or stage we are in the Christian life. But we know you want us to grow in the Word. We know you want us to grow in discernment in the Scriptures. And so I pray that you would help me in this class to lay out these truths of understanding and applying the Bible. And I pray that the result of it would be that all of our people would be students of the Word, well able to rightly divide the Word of truth. And so we pray for your blessing on this service tonight, for all the activities that are going on this evening with the kids and the teenagers as well, and the bus ministry. We ask for your blessings to be poured out upon us, and we thank you for the true happiness, the joy that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in His name, amen. All right, please be seated. Go ahead and turn your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2 is going to be our primary text for this evening that we'll be looking at. We're learning here about how to study the Bible. That's the title of this course. This is a class that we're offering as part of our Standfast Baptist Bible Institute. This is the class that I'm offering on Wednesday night this year, 2023-24. We should wrap up with this somewhere in the spring or late winter of 2024, somewhere in that neighborhood. And tonight, I would like to introduce part one to you, how to study the Bible. And here is the outline that I would like us to think about as we get ready to get into this class. This is going to be our outline for the first part of the class. And then in the latter part of the class, this is where it gets really fun, because in the latter part of the class, we're going to do what did I call it? It's kind of a, I can't remember what I call it. But anyways, it's going to be an opportunity for us to learn a test drive. That's what I was trying to say. It's a test drive where we're going to be learning how to use different Bible study resources in the context of an actual Bible study. Okay, so I'm just going to be doing kind of a Bible study with you from a certain passage of Scripture, and then as we go through it, I'm going to be using different resources, showing you how those resources can be applied to the study that you're doing, and then we'll take that from that to how to even do your own study and develop material according to the same method. We're going to be learning about, we're going to learn about how to use Bible study resources, and so I have a lot of resources I'll be bringing in and showing you throughout the class. I have a lot of printed resources, but you know, printed Bible study resources are kind of old school these days. And so also, if you want to know how to study the Bible, you really also need to understand how to use electronic Bible study resources, and we're going to be talking about that in this class as well. And for those that are signed up for the Saturday discussion group, we'll be getting even more in-depth to how to use those electronic resources. I'll just have more time to show you how to use them, and then you can start making some choices about which ones you want to use and get started into that yourself. So that's where we're headed in the latter part of the class. But in this first part of the class, I have some material I need to present to you to lay the foundation for our Bible study. And so I have 4 points here that are going to encompass the first several lessons. To understand the Bible, we need to have these 4 points. We need to understand these 4 things. Number one, we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. By the way, in this class, I am trying to put the words that go in the blanks in the handout into this other color. And you can see the color up there. It's not as clear as it should be, but it is a lighter color, and so there you can see what word goes in the blank. But we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we must work hard in study. Number three, we must let the Bible speak for itself. Number four, we must apply the principles of correct interpretation. We're going to be learning those principles of correct interpretation, which will take a few lessons. And there is a fancy $10 word for the principles of correct interpretation. The $10 word for that is hermeneutics. So when you hear that term, hermeneutics, what in the world are we talking about? Hermeneutics is simply the principles of correct Bible interpretation, okay? That is the fancy word, your vocabulary word for today, but that's coming down the pike a little bit later. For this evening, we're going to look at that first point. If we want to understand the Bible, we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. And folks, we have to start here. I cannot get into any kind of a class about studying the Bible with you without beginning with this critically important point. Because most of you, at one time in your life, you have probably studied something. Okay, let me just ask. If you have ever had a time in your life where you actually sat down with a textbook or something that you need to learn and you studied it, would you please raise your hand? Okay, all right, so most of us are familiar with the process, and if you've never had to do that, then count your many blessings. Because studying is good old-fashioned hard work, and that's actually lesson two. You need to understand something about studying the Bible. The Bible is not like any other book in the world. I mean, there are history books, and there are science books, and there are English books, and there are literature books, and there are math books, and there are, you know, whatever other book you could possibly imagine that you might want to study, and you can study it, and you can learn it, and you can become an expert in it, but the Bible is not like any other book in the world. If you want to understand how to study the Bible, you have to understand that studying the Bible is a spiritual exercise. Yes, it is an intellectual exercise, but even before that, it is a spiritual exercise. And folks, there are people, smart people, intelligent people, people with many advanced degrees, and they spend their entire lives studying the Bible, and they don't understand any of it. And so we need to grab a hold of this point, and this is where I need to begin. We have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. That is His name, one of His names in the Bible. He is the Spirit of Truth. You know what that means? That means that He's the source of truth. That means whatever He produces is truth. That means the book that He has written is a book of truth. He is the Spirit of Truth, and He is the originator of the truth of God's Word. The Bible that you have in your hand is the truth of God from cover to cover, and it came from the Spirit. That's one of His names, the Spirit of Truth. And this particular person lives within every believer. And so the good news is that if you are a born-again Christian, you have a resident teacher who lives inside you. This truth is explained for us in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." The other comforter is identified in just a moment. That word comforter, though, is a word for the one who comes alongside. I was just talking about this, I think, in one of my other messages, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to encourage and comfort. Okay, so He's going to give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Who is this comforter? Even the Spirit of Truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, that last statement is very important because there the Lord Jesus makes an important distinction. He says, you know something about the Holy Spirit because even now, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, even now, he is with us in a sense. But there is coming a time after the Lord Jesus goes away to heaven, after he ascends to heaven, that God is going to send another comforter. So our comforter Jesus is taken away to heaven, but we're given another comforter from the throne of heaven, and that is the Holy Spirit, and his name is the Spirit of Truth, and he is going to be where? Last two words of the verse? In you. He's going to be in you. And that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And so if you are saved, the wisdom of God himself is at your disposal. Can you imagine that? Folks, just let your brain try to wrap itself around this truth. The same wisdom that created this universe and everything that it contains, the same wisdom that knew how to design the stars and the galaxies and the planets and the solar systems, the same wisdom that knew how to design the human body, how to structure the earth to support life, that same wisdom lives within you, in the person of the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, you can learn from him at any time. You don't have to pay tuition to learn from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to enroll in a special class. You don't have to show up at certain times, because when it comes to the Spirit of God, class is always in session. All right, so he is the Spirit of Truth. He lives within every believer. Number three, he guides us to a correct understanding of God's Word. Take a look at this guiding ministry as the Lord Jesus described it in John 16, 13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Very key statement in the verse. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit has many different ministries. He has ministries to this world at large, but also to the believer. One of his critically important ministries to us as believers in Jesus Christ is his ministry of guiding us into all truth. And that ministry has two parts. There are two parts to the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, as it relates to the believer, that we need to understand. First of all, there is an initial guiding. How does the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth? Now understand, when Jesus spoke these words, the Old Testament was complete, but none of the New Testament had been written. And so, of course, the Lord Jesus, when during the years of his earthly ministry, he was revealing truth. But there was more truth that God wanted to give us, right? When the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, there was more truth to come, and that truth was going to come through the Holy Spirit, that he would reveal to us what God was speaking to him, and so he would reveal this truth to us. How is he going to do that? Step one, an initial guiding into truth. He had to inspire some men to write the New Testament scriptures. So number one, there's the initial guiding, which we call the inspiration of the Word, and that comes through the apostles and prophets. By the way, it's the same thing the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament, okay? Same process in the Old Testament. He inspired those men as well. But then he was going to do it when Jesus said these words. The New Testament inspiration was still in the future. And so he says, this is going to happen. Okay, so you're going to get some more truth from the Spirit of Truth. And it's going to start with inspiration. But there's also another aspect to his guiding ministry, and that is a continuing guiding, which we call the illumination of the Word to the believer. The illumination of the Word to the believer. And the illumination of the Word means that the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, who inspired it, who gave it to the human authors, that same Spirit helps us understand what the Bible means. And folks, this guiding ministry that's described in John 16, 13 requires both of those aspects in order for us to understand the truth. So every word of the Bible was written by the Spirit. He breathed it out through holy men writing at his direction. And because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, he knows what it means, and he will teach us what it means if we want him to. So you can actually ask the author what it means. The Holy Spirit. All right, so now let's go on to the next point. Oh, I did not get that on the slide. Excuse me. I didn't realize I had to click there. So you have there your initial guiding, which is inspiration, the continuing guiding, which is the illumination. Now, let's go on to the next point. The next point is we must have his help, the help of the Holy Spirit, to rightly understand the Scripture. Martin Luther said, "The Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. You must count only on the influence of the Holy Spirit." And you know what? That's a true statement. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to show you this process of the Spirit guiding us in all truth. We have a three-step process really that is described here, and I want to show you what they are. Steps 1 and 2 are very closely related. But we're going to start reading at verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, let me just stop right there, because a lot of times we take that verse and we interpret it to refer to heaven, you know, because we haven't seen heaven and God's preparing heaven for us. We can't imagine how wonderful it is. You know what? That is true about heaven. But that is not in the context what this verse is actually talking about. The things that God has prepared in this context is referring specifically to the mysteries of Christ and salvation, which are mentioned in the previous verses. Would you flip back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2? And take a look at verse 2. Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Okay, so when he is talking here in verse 9 about the things that God has prepared for them that love him, he is talking about the mysteries of New Testament revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ in this New Testament dispensation. Let's keep on going in verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by whom? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Okay, so what we have described in those verses is divine revelation. Divine revelation. What is divine revelation? That is God revealing things to people that we could not know otherwise. And where does this revelation come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Look back at verse 10. How does God reveal these mysteries to us? It comes through the Spirit. So on our own, we cannot hope to understand God because he is way above us. He's way up here. We're way down here. So we have to have help to understand the ways, the thoughts, the mind of God. So we couldn't figure him out on our own. But as God, the Holy Spirit, understands God, he understands the wisdom of God, and he reveals the things of God to his people. He has done that, first of all, through his prophets. Okay, so when you look at verse 10, when Paul says, "But God hath revealed them unto us," who is the us in that verse? That's not every single believer. That is talking there specifically about the New Testament apostles and prophets, those who received the New Testament mysteries, the New Testament revelation from the Holy Spirit as a part of his guiding us into all truth. He began to reveal the truths of God to the apostles like Paul and other writing prophets. And this is the process that we need to understand truth, and it starts with this divine revelation. But then verse 13, we get to inspiration. Look at verse 13. Paul says, which things, what things are that? Are they the things that the Spirit has made known to them, okay, has revealed to them? And he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, that verse is a very strong statement on the inspiration of Scripture, because what is the Apostle Paul saying in that verse? He is saying that the things that the apostles and the prophets spoke, they didn't make those things up on their own. It wasn't their own good ideas. No, they spoke to us as they were taught to speak by the Holy Spirit. This is the process of inspiration, where the Holy Spirit began to use these men to communicate to us the revelation of God, ultimately this culminating in the written New Testament revelation of Scripture. Now, what does it mean that the Spirit of God taught them what words to speak? It does not mean that they became robots, you know, that they lost control of their minds, that they went into some kind of a mystical trance and didn't know what they were saying. Not at all. The Bible tells us how the Holy Spirit does this. So would you please turn in your Bible for a moment? Don't lose your place in 1 Corinthians, but turn over for a moment in your Bible to the book of 2 Peter, and let's just see how the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit accomplishes this process of inspiration. The word inspiration literally means breathed out by God. God breathed. Okay, and so where does the Scripture come from? It comes from God. He's the one who ultimately breathed it out. He's the one who spoke the word. It's the word of God, and yet he inspired it through people like the Apostle Paul, who gave it to us. How does the Spirit of God do that? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The prophets didn't make up what they were writing. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how does inspiration work? They spoke as they were moved. The word moved has the idea of being led or carried along. All right, so I give you a couple illustrations. Maybe you've been outside on a windy day in the fall, and the wind is blowing, and the wind is moving along some leaves, okay? And so those leaves are being borne along. They're being moved by the wind, carried along at the power and the direction of the wind. That's kind of an illustration of what this word moved in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 means. Another illustration would be there might have been a time in your life when you may had a little toy boat, and you stuck that little toy boat in the stream, and you watched it go, you know, go down the stream. How is that boat doing what it does through the being borne along by the stream? And so the idea of inspiration is the Holy Spirit came to these men, and he breathed through them, he used them and carried them along and bore them along, so that everything they said was exactly what he wanted them to say. Every word was in fact the very word of God. You say, I don't quite understand that, Pastor. You know what? I don't quite understand that either, but that's what the Bible says. Okay, that's how it happened. Here, coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about this. He says, hey, the things we're teaching, the things that we speak, it didn't come from us. It's not man's wisdom. We have been taught what to say by the Holy Spirit. And then that brings us to verses 14 to 16. Okay, so here we have the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. He reveals truth. He then inspired these men to write exactly what he wanted them to say so that we could have truth, so that we could have the New Testament revelation. And then, and by the way, he did the same thing in the Old Testament, as I said before. And then, verse number 14, we get to the other side of the coin. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so verses 14 to 16 are a description of divine illumination. Illumination is also a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who is the natural man? The natural man is an unsaved man, an unregenerated person. And the Bible says he cannot understand spiritual truth. Why? Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have the teacher. Okay, so the natural man cannot understand the things of God. This is why an unsaved person could study the Bible forever from a standpoint of unbelief and never learn the truth. However, the spiritual man there is talking about the spirit-indwelt man. So the natural man cannot understand God's wisdom because he's not on his wavelength. You have to have the mind of Christ given to us by the Spirit of Christ to understand the Word of Christ. The key word in this section is in verse number 14. It is the word receive. That is the key word for illumination in these verses. As believers, we are on the receiving end of the Spirit's ministry of revelation and inspiration. So he gave it, but now we have to receive it. And just as he made it happen, the giving part happen, he also makes the receiving part happen. So let's break that down just a little bit more. To receive or to take something in includes two things. First of all, it includes comprehension. Verse 14, the word there is know. He cannot know them. All right, so first of all, to receive the truth of the word means we have to know it. We have to comprehend it. We have to understand it. So that is a part of the illumination ministry of the Spirit. But then secondly, there is application. It also involves application. Where do we see that? Verses 14 and 15 uses the word to discern or to judge. Okay, the idea there, if you're making discernments or judgments, then you are taking the truth that you know and you're applying it to certain situations of your life. That's application. So in his illuminating ministry, the Spirit helps us to know the Word and then to use the Word to make specific judgments or decisions about what is right or wrong, what is true or not true, what we should do and shouldn't do, and so on. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would not have a clue what the Bible means or how to apply it in our lives. So then, now that we understand the utmost necessity of the Spirit's help, let's talk about how we can have the help of the Holy Spirit to study the Bible. How do we receive the help of the Holy Spirit? I have a few points here for you. Number one, if you want the Spirit's help to understand the Bible, to study the Bible, begins by being saved. Okay? You have to be saved. You have to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "Ye have an unction." That word unction refers to an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. This anointing, by the way, is referring to the indwelling Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you become a possessor of the Spirit of God. It's like you've been anointed by the Spirit. That's the description that's being given here. Okay? And as a result of that, ye know all things. Keep on going to verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Notice, where does this anointing live? It's inside you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the unction refers in this passage to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it is a person, a he, who lives in you. And so, for that reason, you can know and understand the Bible. But without this unction, you can't. Okay? And that you receive that when you get saved. So when it says there that you know all things and need not that any man teach you, then that means I should just sit down and be quiet right now, right? Because, I mean, if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need me, right? Is that what it means? No, it's not what it means. What does that mean, okay? You need not that any man teach you. Well, that does not mean that you have no need to study. That does not mean that there is no need for human teachers. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what John is doing here as he's writing this epistle. He's teaching them. Also, Ephesians chapter 4 said God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So obviously, human teachers in the church were a key part of God's plan for edifying his people. So that's what it does not mean. Here's what it does mean. It does mean that the believer is not dependent on human teachers because he has a constant source of instruction in the indwelling Holy Spirit using the truth of the Word. Okay, the word to need in that passage, you need not that any man teach you. The word need has the idea of a want or a necessity. So if I could paraphrase it for you, you could paraphrase it like this. You are not having any want that someone should be teaching you because his anointing is constantly teaching you. That's the idea of the verse. You are not lacking for a teacher at any time. Why? Because you always have the resident teacher, the Spirit of God. He's always in you, and he's always there to teach you. That doesn't mean that nobody else can do any teaching. It just means that you have what you need, ultimately, in the Holy Spirit. So even if the believer were totally removed from human teachers for some reason, although that is not God's plan, that believer would still enjoy the ministry of the resident teacher of the Word. But remember, this is only going to happen as the believer immerses himself or herself in the Scriptures. All right, so the bottom line is if you're going to understand the Word, you have to have the unction from God. You have to have the Holy Spirit given by the Holy One. In other words, you have to be saved. All right, number two, how can you receive the help of the Holy Spirit? Number two, by being right with God. By being right with God, we see that in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're still there, having the mind of Christ, verse number 16, does not mean just that you are spirit indwelled. It also means that you are spirit controlled. It means that you are getting yourself on the wavelength of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, a spiritual person living in obedience to God's will in His Word. My friend, you cannot approach a study of the Bible independent of a close walk with God. If you want to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit in Bible study, or in any area of your life, you must be rightly related to Him. And so if you are resisting the Spirit, then you're not in any position to understand the Word. You're not going to comprehend God's will when you are determined to do your own will. So if we want the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, we must make sure that we're obeying His voice in other areas first. We cannot grieve the Spirit by living in impurity, indulging anger, then things like that, and then expect to sit down and be taught by the Spirit and the Word unless we want to hear His voice of conviction. He will speak to us about that. But we have to look at Proverbs chapter 1 here, and here we have the Spirit of wisdom speaking to us in Proverbs. It says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And so God says to us there in His Word, if you want to enjoy the outpouring of the work of the Spirit and the Word in your life, it begins when you turn from your simplicity, your scorning, and your foolishness. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to be in a position to receive all that God wants to give you. So if we'll turn to Him humbly and humble ourselves with Him and be right with Him and rightly related to Him, then we're in a position to hear His voice and receive His truth and to receive all that God wants to give us through the illuminating ministry of the Spirit and His Word. Okay, then number three, how to receive the help of the Holy Spirit? Number three, by getting God's Word into our minds and hearts by every possible means. What are some of the ways that we can get God's Word into our minds and hearts? Well, number one, we can read it. You say, "Pastor, I'm not a very good reader." You know what? I've talked to believers. They really struggle to read. My recommendation to you is get an app on your phone that'll read the Bible to you. You know, I have one of those on my phone. I love the guy's voice. And sometimes I let it read it. I let him read it to me, just even though I can read it for myself. I just like listening to him read it. Okay. So if you struggle, this is a very serious recommendation. If you struggle to read the Bible for yourself, get the app on your phone, hit the little play button, and let him read it to you. But because we have to read the Word, we have to get it into us somehow. So get it in there. Okay, read it. Next step is to meditate on it. Meditate means think about what you read. You know, for many of us, that's where we fail. You know, we read the Bible in the morning, and then we go our merry way. We never think about it again. And I've been there. I've done that many times over. But we should be continuing to meditate on what we read. Let it go through our minds again and again. Another good way to read and to meditate on the Scripture is to read the Scriptures over and over again. Okay? The first time or two that you read the Bible, you're going to have a lot to learn. I mean, it's going to be unfamiliar to you. But if you will make the reading of God's Word the pursuit, a lifelong pursuit for you, guess what? You'll get to the point where the Bible becomes your familiar friend. And you'll turn to passages of Scripture that you've read 100, maybe 1,000 times before, and yet you'll find a blessing there again, and it won't be, and you'll understand it much, much better. Why? Because you've read it so many times. So if you get discouraged reading the Bible because I didn't really understand it, I got bogged down in Leviticus, well, first of all, I would recommend start with the New Testament and read that first, then read the Old Testament, because a lot of people do get bogged down in Leviticus. But don't quit. Keep on going. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Okay? So read it, meditate on it, keep on reading, memorize. That's another way to get it in. That's the best way. That's the most ironclad way to get the Bible into you. How do you memorize? You say it over and over and over again. And do it out loud. Okay? You can't mental memory work doesn't work. Okay? I've done a good bit of memory work in my life. You got to do it out loud. Trust me, you got to do it out loud. So you just say the verse over and over and over again. You say, I've said it 100 times and I'm still having a hard time. I understand. Keep on going, okay? Get it into you. So memorize it. Study it. That's what we're going to learn how to do in this class. But look at this verse, Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know what that means? We all start out simple. What does simple mean? It means untaught, okay? That's our condition. You're born simple, ignorant, untaught. You don't know the truth. No one's taught it to you yet. So if you're in a simple condition and you want to, you want understanding, if you want the light bulb of understanding to go on, get the Word into you. Because it's the entrance of God's Word that brings the light. I have worked with people. I wish I had time to tell you some stories, but I have worked with people and I have seen just as I shared Scripture with them and as they talked about it, as they learned it, boom, the light went on. And they comprehended it and they were saved, or they grew in some significant way. And so if you're trying to witness to somebody and help them understand that they need to be saved and you're sharing the gospel with them, don't forget this one very important thing. Share to them, read to them, quote to them, show them in the Bible actual verses of Scripture. Okay, don't leave the Word out of it. Get the Word into them, because when the Word comes in, guess what happens? Understanding comes with it. And so if you want more understanding, get more of the Word into you. That's how it works. But we have to be willing to dig deep if we want to understand. Okay, and we're going to talk about digging deep next week, but I don't have time tonight to look up all these. Oh, I didn't realize I had all these. Let me just scroll through these animations. Okay. I wish I had time, but these are in your notes, I believe. And so you can go back and look at these references. And here are some of the key action words the Bible uses for this idea of getting the Word into you. Seek, search, seek early and diligently, watch, wait daily, to desire, to meditate, to hide it in your heart, to renew, to receive it, to engraft it. Folks, all of those words have the idea of you're internalizing the Word of God, that it starts out here on the printed page, and it comes in through the gate of your mind and into your heart, where it takes root and it grows and it becomes a part of you. And then, finally tonight, last point. How do we get the help of the Holy Spirit? By asking for it. By asking for it. Look at these scriptures with me. Proverbs chapter 2 says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." God has all the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that you need, and he wants to give it to you. But there are a couple of conditions here. Number one, you've got to cry out to him for it. And number two, you got to dig deep to find it. What do you mean by cry out? I mean, cry out in prayer. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." What is asking of God? That's called praying. That's called asking God for the wisdom, the understanding of the Word that you do not have. You know what? If you're in a classroom, if you're a student in a class, and you don't understand the assignment, if you don't understand what's going on, if you don't know what page number we're on, if you are lost in the class, then what should you do? Raise your hand and ask the teacher, right? You know, now junior hires have this down, okay? Teacher, what page are we on? You know, I said that 5 times already, you know, but so you ask the teacher. In the same way, it only makes sense if the Spirit is your teacher, if he's the one who's going to give you understanding of the Word, that you would ask him to help you to study the Bible. Don't sit down to study the Bible. Don't try to do it in your all by yourself. Ask him. So the question is, are you asking? Do you have a regular practice of asking the Spirit of truth who lives within you to teach you from his Word before you sit down to read the Word or to study the Word? You know, I believe one reason why Christians do not understand the Bible when they sit down to read the Bible is because they didn't pray first and ask God to show them what it means. Remember, studying the Bible is not like any other book. It is a spiritual book. It comes from God, and the author lives in you, and he wants you to understand it. He wants to guide you into all truth. In fact, he's promised to do that. And so if you will lean hard on him, if you will express your need to him, if you'll cry out to him in prayer, and then dig deep, then read, then study, he'll help you. He will help you. You know, I was looking forward today to spending a good chunk of my day studying for my Sunday morning message. I'm preaching this Sunday morning again in Hebrews chapter 10. A somewhat difficult passage about apostasy. So I was praying this morning during my devotional time that the Lord would help me today to understand what I'm studying to help me to prepare so I can teach it to you. You know, there are times when I don't understand the Bible and I need help. And so this should be our practice. Now, sometimes people do not make the effort to study the Bible because studying does not come easy for them. As I said before, sometimes because they're not good readers, or maybe they find certain things in the Bible hard to understand. So just really grab a hold of what I'm about to say. If you are saved and you're right with God and you really want to understand and you're willing to make the effort, God will help you. But you need to ask. So here's my question. How long has it been since you were so desperate to understand something from the Bible that you cried out in prayer to God to ask Him for His help. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed that way? I mean, look back at Proverbs 2. If thou criest after knowledge and then liftest up thy voice for understanding. Folks, that's a description of prayer, but that's a description of a very fervent prayer. This is a person who is convinced, I need to hear from God. And if you're convinced of that, and you need to hear from God, and you go to the Word with that kind of prayer, and you'll get into the Scripture, you will hear from God. If you'll fulfill the conditions, you'll cry out and you'll dig deep. So here's a great prayer to pray. It comes right from the Bible. God always teaches us how to pray. Psalm 119, 18 and 19. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. What a great prayer. And that's true. We are strangers in the earth. We desperately need God's Word. We need everything that God wants us to know, every bit of wisdom that we can get from Him. So we should pray. Again, don't ever make the study of the Bible just an intellectual exercise. It is a spiritual exercise. So take time to pray, then wait on the Lord and keep on digging in the Word by faith. And so that brings me to what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the hard work required to understand the Bible. And so we have one of these paradoxes of the Christian life. The paradox is you must depend 100% on God's help, and you must bring 100% of your own effort to the task. Okay, so we'll be talking about the other side of that coin next week. But I hope that this is a help to you. And again, we have to start here. If we're going to go anywhere else in this study, we have to understand the Spirit's role in Bible study. Let's go ahead and take out our prayer sheets and take some prayer requests.